Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Naked City in the Castro District of San Francisco. That's not just a saying, it's a lifestyle.
I'm kind of a weather opportunist.
You'll find George Davis or some of his friends on just about any warm day near the corner of Market and Castro, soaking up the sun, the shade, the stares, and the criticism from people like Andrea Aiello, who runs a local merchant association.
Are you sure you want to sit down on these chairs? Naked people sit here with their bare butts.
White households have 20 times the median wealth of black households in the United States. How would you address that question, that problem, as president?
The best thing that we can do in this country for those who need help is to create an economy where people know that they work hard and they can have a job and they can best take care of their family, not government. And that's true whether you're Hispanic or African American or Asian or Anglo.
The DNC should take the Social Security line of Mr. Perry and the attack on Social Security and the Ponzi scheme and put out bumper stickers saying it's not about Obama, it's about your mama, and we'll win.
And that's the state of America today. Street vermin are on MSNBC. Gangsters are sitting in the royal box about to hear the hair Obama give a speech about who gets to get paid off tonight. And I say paid off because the stimulus funds, as I told you, were nothing but graft, corruption of the lowest order. FBI today raided a solar panel company that was hailed by Obama. You say, wait a minute, what's the big deal? Here's the big deal. This solar panel company got $500 million of taxpayer money in stimulus funds. The FBI raided them today. They got $500 million in federal stimulus loans in 2009 to make solar panels, which Obama boasted about. He toured the company and he hailed the company. He said it expected to hire 1,000 workers. They declared bankruptcy today. But where's the $500 million, Mr. Obama? Well, that's what we the people want to know. And, of course, the FBI raided the company today. We fear that since the FBI reports directly to Eric Holder, the raid really is simply to gather up the evidence that will be buried. But let's pray that our cynicism is not rewarded with facts, because Obama tonight, in approximately 50 minutes, is going to announce another $400 billion stimulus plan, which will go right into the hands of the same kind of corrupt individuals as this solar panel company, in my opinion. Now, all the while this nonsense went on last night at a debate, I was shocked to see the moderator was Pinocchio Williams. I could not believe they dredged up Pinocchio Williams and answered his questions. I wouldn't even be in the same room with Pinocchio Williams. Listen to clip five.
Is it a disqualification to be in government all your career?
It's a fine profession. and if someone were looking to say, how can we restructure government and which agency should report to which other agency, why, maybe that's the best background.
If you're thinking about... Turn him off. I lost my tooth after having dinner with him. Somehow, every time I hear Romney speak, I think of a great pain in my jaw. All the while this rubbish was going on, because moderator Pinocchio Williams was the ringmaster of this nonsense, not one serious question about our national security, not one question about the threats that Islamofascism the threats of Islamofascism, not one question about why Obama invaded Libya, and where the missiles went. Not one question about the upheaval in the Middle East caused by the idiots in the Obama administration, and whether they're doing this on purpose or are they doing it because they hate America. Not one question from Pinocchio Williams about China expanding its nuclear stockpile. Did you see this story from Bill Gertz, Washington Times? China has 1,000 miles of underground tunnels, 3,000 miles, an obscure tunnel network, excuse me, that is 3,000 miles long, chock full of nuclear missiles aimed at the United States of America. And we're going to listen to moderator Pinocchio Williams. And the reason Pinocchio Williams was chosen is because he is a stooge who works for NBC. NBC, as you well know, is a wholly owned subsidiary of the White House under Mr. Immelt, who has melted down America's morality with the vermin that he has put on television. And here we are sitting and watching the world go round. So tonight, Obama, as I affectionately call him, is going to give a speech in which he is allegedly going to put out $400 billion. How much of it will go to General Electric? We don't know. How much of it will go to solar panel companies that don't exist? We don't know. But the fact of the matter is, we do know he's robbing the country blind and getting away with it. And for those of you who have forgotten the unions and what they're doing, if you've seen what's going on in Washington, did you read that story in your local paper, your friendly union members? Okay, union goons beat up cops and stopped a train filled with grain, cutting the brake cables on a train filled with grain. There's your unions today under Barack Hussein Obama. And basically, we the people are powerless. Here's a headline from Drudge. Google Power Pig uses 260 million watts more than Salt Lake City. Good friends of Nancy Pelosi. The Google Pigs have an airplane, a 767. The Google Pigs fly the 767 for personal fun. The Google Pigs flew Nancy Pelosi's family on it many times. The Google Pigs park their 767 at a federally financed airbase, Ames Air Force Base, the last I checked, at virtually no rent. The Google Pigs are getting away with absolute larceny, in my opinion, because they are friends of the Obama administration, of course, friends with Nancy Pelosi, whose values are so extreme that we can hardly mention them. This is the Savage Nation in approximately 47 minutes. Herr Obama will give us a speech about who gets the next slush fund. Let's take your calls in the Savage Nation. Let's begin in New York. They're the only ones calling. I guess everyone else is asleep. John on WOR, go ahead, please.
Where do you think that money's going to go, those millions of dollars, into his campaign fund so he could steal another election, so he can manipulate?
John, $500 million was given in stimulus funds to a solar company that he last year boasted about. The FBI busted into the solar company today because they went bankrupt. Nobody knows where the $500 million went. And Obama was there boasting about it. When this happened, I said this is all corruption and graft. All of it.
It's in his pocket. He's going to steal the election. He's going to get in. He's going to steal this election like he did the last time. Everyone's blind to this. Why can't people see this?
What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? What can you do about it when you have a gang that's taken over the country? Tell me what you can do when you have a gang running the country.
Nothing we could do. You know, we could
nothing, because you look at the morons around you. Go walk in the streets of New York and tell me that they know what's going on, those morons.
They know nothing. They love.
Have you walked the streets of your city, whether it's New York, San Francisco, and looked at the faces of the idiots? Have you seen these idiots who think that because they're wearing something cool, they know what's going on?
They love this man. I go to college at night. These professors worship this man. Why are they so brainwashed? Why can't they see what's going on in this country?
Well, I can answer the question in several different ways, but it will waste both of our times. It's heartbreaking to look at the fools who consider themselves the enlightened ones when we have the most corrupt, degenerate administration this country has ever suffered through right in front of our eyes. The most corrupt, degenerate administration in American history is now destroying the country. John, I'm sending you a free copy of Abuse of Power. Would you like that to make your day a little brighter? I hope so, because you're going to get it. In about 45 minutes, Herr Obama will be right here on the Savage Nation. I will, of course, comment over his comments. I haven't been able to do that for a few years. This tactic was stolen from me by someone who sounds like Groucho Marx's grandmother getting a hysterectomy without anesthesia, but I will be able to do it live in exactly 44 minutes. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here at this site, Solyndra expects to make enough solar panels each year to generate 500 megawatts of electricity. And over the lifetime of this expanded facility, it's, you know, that could be like replacing as many as 8 coal-fired power plants. And we can see The positive impact's right here at Solyndra. Less than a year ago, we were standing on what was...
All right, turn Pinocchio Jr. off. Pinocchio Jr. went to the Solyndra plant last year, and Pinocchio Jr. gave them $500 million in federal stimulus loans in 2009 to make solar panels. Today, the FBI broke down their doors and is looking at their records. They want to know why they declared bankruptcy and where the $500 million of stimulus money go. Now, you ask yourself, how did this company get $500 million from Pinocchio Jr.? The answer is quite simple. They gave Pinocchio Jr. money. The president, Mr. Kaiser, donated $53,500 to Obama's presidential campaign in 2008. Ben Bierman, executive vice president of operations of this corrupt company, donated $5,500 to Obama. And Karen Alter, senior vice president of marketing of this corrupt company, gave $23,000, just to name a few. Also, Solyndra officials made many trips to the White House, according to logs that have been released. I won't bore you with the details, but the fact of the matter is, they were major donors to Pinocchio, and Pinocchio rewarded them with $500 million in stimulus funds. How can you Democrats get up in the morning and face yourself knowing that this is the most corrupt, degenerate administration that has ever seized power in the United States of America? How can you face yourselves knowing that this is the most corrupt, degenerate administration in history? How? That's what I want to know. FBI raid solar panel company hailed by Obama. Firm got $500 million in stimulus funds. And Pinocchio is going to get up there in about 39 minutes and give away more of your money to more corrupt companies that are simply revolving doors. Revolving doors, revolving doors, donation, donation reward, donation reward, donation reward, donation reward. But you're paying the tab. So what do you want to talk about? I mean, you want me to eat my heart out today and talk about moderator Pinocchio Williams? Just knowing that NBC ran the debate and knowing that the moderator was Pinocchio Williams, we knew that it would not touch on anything of any substance whatsoever. We all knew it would be bleeding heart liberalism from the beginning to the end, about poverty and about hunger, and not one word about Islamofascism, about China's nuclear power plants, China's nukes, not one word about the porous borders, not one word about our national security, asked by NBC's moderator-in-chief, Pinocchio Williams. Now, why the Republicans went along with it is the other question. The answer is because you don't want to believe me. I'm trying to tell you, it's a one-party government with a two-party Ponzi scheme. You actually think that there's a presidential election coming up. You are wrong. I'm telling you the fix is in. I am telling you the same thing that happened in 2008 with McCain is going to happen again with whoever gets the nomination. I can see it from a mile away. I can smell it. I can see it. Because the Dems have only had 4 years to rob us when they're entitled to 8. The way the big boys play the game is the Repubs get 8 years to rob us, which they did. The Dems have only had less than 3 years now, right? They need the full 4, then they get another 4. Then they throw it back to the Repubs. And then you boobs get to think that there's a difference. Well, as I said for many years on the Savage Nation, I am tired of Diet Coke. I am tired of Diet Pepsi. I am tired of Diet Dr. Pepper. I want pure orange juice. And I frankly don't see it. There was no debate last night. It was a setup from the get-go with moderator Pinocchio Williams running the show. But what am I going to do, eat my heart out over it? I'm only one man with one man's opinion. 1-800-449-8255. Play the circus music so I can relax for a minute as I gather my thoughts about what I'd like to do next on the program. Get the music up. I can have a conniption here. Dragging. I don't feel like I got energy today. Let's see what else is in the news. Sweating. I don't like sweating on the show. All right, here we go. The GOP race is going to be a snore. No kidding. The big story of the Republican debate at the Reagan-Laurier was that Rick Perry's debut on the presidential stage was a bore. No kidding. Next case. Is the U.S. ready for Little Mosque on the Prairie? Influential American broadcaster Katie Couric has suggested a way to change attitudes to Muslims in the U.S. I don't care what Katie Couric has to say. Once a Couric, always a Couric. Let's see what else I can read you. China expanding its nuclear stockpile. U.S. colleges to receive warning letters on anti-Semitism. Okay, what else would you like to hear on the Savage Nation? Let's go to Houston, Texas. Bob, go ahead, please.
Hey, I just wanted to know that I also thought Perry's debut was quite superficial. I'm a supporter of him down here in Texas, and we do have a porous border. He has, however, had some very good interviews in this area, in the state, but particularly here in the Gulf Coast.
Yeah, he's had good interviews, and he said good things last night about border security, but has he actually done it as governor of Texas?
Well, I think to the extent that the state boots on the ground can be there. I mean, since 2009, he's requested from the administration, the National Guard, to be placed down there. We need 1,000.
That's right. At least he says the right thing, and he has limitations in what he can do because the federal goons override states, as you well know. The federal goon squad overrides the states. Stay in the line. You're getting a copy of Abuse of Power. I want you to play clip one right now for Perry on Borders.
What specifically, in your mind, would make the border secure?
Well, the first thing you need to do is have boots on the ground. We've had a request into this administration since January of 2009 for 1,000 Border Patrol agents, or National Guard troops, and working towards 3,000 Border Patrol. That's just on the Texas border. There's another 50% more for the entire Mexican border. So you can secure the border, but it requires a commitment of the federal government of putting those boots on the ground, the aviation assets in the air. We think Predator drones could be flown, that real-time information coming down to the local and the state and the federal law enforcement, and you can secure the border. And at that particular point in time, then you can have an intellectually appropriate discussion about immigration reform.
Good for him. So I would take Perry in a heartbeat. Irrespective of whether he comes on the show, doesn't matter. Here you have Perry saying we need boots on the ground, while Obama says we need booty on the ground. Here in San Francisco, they have booty on the ground, and people are afraid to sit down in restaurants because degenerates are now walking around naked and sitting on chairs in restaurants, and nobody will arrest them. Instead, they claim it's a human right to sit naked on chairs in restaurants in this filthy, dirty, degenerate, disgusting city by the bay. It is the most disgusting city in the world.
Savage.
Just recently in New Hampshire, you said that weekly or even daily, scientists are coming forward to question the idea that human activity is behind climate change. Which scientists have you found most credible on this subject?
Well, I do agree that the science is not settled on this. I mean, and I tell somebody, I said, just because you have a group of scientists that have stood up and said, here is the fact, Galileo got outvoted for a spell.
When you go through the fact checks, when they check out his claims, I mean, this whole thing of Galileo was outvoted. I mean, he really got out
there. Can you believe the level of lowness that MSNBC has gone to? Al Sharpton, with no education whatsoever, who doesn't even know who Galileo is, and this rabble-rouser, this lowlife on MSNBC commenting on a man as distinguished as Governor Perry, yes, the answer is of course you can. In the debased America of today, of course a man of that low ilk will be on MSNBC where he belongs. More snotty nonsense by communists. What else would you expect? All right, so let's move on. Moderator Pinocchio Williams, union goons stormed a port near Seattle. They attacked police and they stopped a grain train by cutting the brake cables. That's the unions that you are looking up to now that are glorified by NBC. It's a Ponzi scheme. The whole thing is a Ponzi scheme. It's frightening. It's as though Al Capone took over America, and we're supposed to sit here and say we don't see what's going on. It's as though Al Capone took over the United States of America, and we're sitting here begging the FBI to save us from them, only we wake up and we find out the FBI is actually working for Al Capone. We don't know what to do. We have no idea who to turn to. You know, the Romans said it best. Who will watch the watchers? Who is watching out for you? Who is watching out for you? Chicago, Ryan, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, I just want to thank you. I'm in the Navy up here in Chicago, and I work at night, and I don't have an opportunity to watch the news. So on the way to work, I listen to your program every day, and I want to thank you for what you do. And I only wish you were...
Let me ask you something. How can we survive as a nation if China, we find out, is expanding its nuclear stockpile at an alarming rate? They have 3,000 miles of underground tunnels with missiles pointed at us. And we find out that one of Obama's number one contributors, Jeffrey Immelt of General Electric, does business with China, massive business with China, massive military-related business with China. How are we going to survive this administration?
I don't know, but I would tell you that General Electric does a lot more than you think.
Whatever. I mean, I'm sure they do a lot more than I think. But the fact of the matter is, they should not be permitted to have this much control over the government media complex. Ryan, I'm going to send you a gift, a free copy of my novel, Abuse of Power. And all of you out there who've been flooding Amazon, I want to thank you. I am really not talking about the book at all today because the president will be speaking in about 22 minutes, and I have to, you know, wait for that speech, and I only want to talk about the speech and listen to who's going to give the money to. But I'm going to ask you to mark your calendars for Tuesday. Make a note in your little day book for Tuesday. I'd like you to go into a bookstore on Tuesday after work or during lunch hour, and I want you to clean out the shelves. I want you to send a message to Publishers Row and a message to Hollywood. We are conservatives, and we read novels. Don't let the liberals control ideas. That is why we have the vermin of Hollywood producing the sewer pump. David in New Hampshire, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I know you're going to be talking about and following this Obama speech here pretty soon. And I just told you to call screener. I just wanted to ask you a question. It's a little bit off base to give you a break for a few minutes.
Right. I need a break.
I want to know, my girlfriend has twin three-year-old girls, and their birthday is actually today. We're going to be celebrating on Saturday. And I got them a couple of things related to elephants because they happen to take a real liking to them. And we're going to be taking them down to Boston to the zoo.
Hmm.
See them, and I just wanted to ask you what made you become interested in them and just expand on a little bit for me.
It's an interesting question. Why do I have a soft spot for elephants and gorillas is the question. I have supported the Gorilla Fund, the Elephant Fund. Elephants have always struck me as friendly giants. They're vegetarian, number one. That's first of all. There's a certain look in their eye that is... So, that has always somehow reached out to me. I don't know how to explain it. It's an emotional thing. Somehow the bigger the animal, the more vulnerable they seem to me, and the more care they actually need, the more sensitive they actually are. And I have a soft spot for large, gentle giants. I mean, that's to start with. They're not a vicious animal. Let me put it to you that way. There are vicious animals on Earth, like pit bulls, for example. Piranha fish, okay? I don't support the Piranha Fish Fund. I don't support the Pitbull Rescue Fund, if you know what I'm saying. Elephants, I do. You ever look at mountain gorillas, how they hide and want to be left alone? They want humans to leave them alone. How human they look as they sit with their female and their offspring trying to survive in the canopies of the rainforest in Africa as they're hunted down for their claws by vermin lower than animals? I mean, doesn't your heart go out to the gorillas?
Yeah, it does. I mean, to just about all animals. And, you know, like I said, I mean, I'm just looking forward to telling them that I talked to you about this. And, you know,
that's very, no one ever asked me why. I mean, ever since I've been a kid, I see these lumbering, gigantic animals, the elephants. I don't like seeing them in captivity. There's something grotesque about putting chains around their feet and making them perform like stooges. I mean, I don't go for that part of it. So if we can stop the poachers by funding the armies that kill the poachers, I'm all for that. You know, there are armies in Africa that go out hunting the poachers. You know that.
No, I didn't. But
oh, yes, they're armed with automatic weapons, and they have to hunt down poachers who are killing elephants simply for the ivory, because the ivory trade is very big in China, as you well know. The esteemed advanced culture of China still thinks that ivory is something to hunt. They're so advanced, you know. As you well know, anybody is better than an American to the liberal. They think that everybody in China is superior to every American. Anyway, thanks for the question, David. Free copy of Abuse of Power goes out to you. 1-800-449-8255. I would like a break from this Pinocchio Williams and the... It's like staring at cervical cancer watching this. I feel as though I'm an oncologist, and I'm watching cervical cancer spread in the United States of America. I don't know how else to put it. Did you hear what I just said to you? Watching what's going on politically in this country, I feel as though I am an oncologist, and I'm watching cervical cancer that's spreading throughout the body politic. I know those are strong words, But I don't have any other way to reach you other than through strong words. You know, this morning I went to the shooting range to requalify for my license. I have to do this every few years. And the instructor, it was at a range called Bullseye over here where I live, terrific people. And the guys congratulated me for my show and what I do and this and that. And the instructor and I talked at the end of it. He said, you know, I can see why you need a license. I said, why? He said, well, you provoke people with what you say. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, that's what you do in order to get them in a dialogue. You provoke them to get in a dialogue with you. He said, but that's what makes America good. He said, the people who are dangerous are those who have no arguments. The people who are dangerous are those who cannot argue with you. Those are the ones who are really dangerous. They have no capacity for any intellectual discussion. He said, I frankly love to listen to an argument on both sides so I can make up my own mind. And I said, you're absolutely right. The people who are brain dead, whether they are liberal or conservative, by the way, they're brain dead on both sides of the aisle, you have to be able to hold an argument. So when I tell you that Obama's speech tonight, in the speech, he's going to give away another $400 billion, and we're going to hear that that's going to stimulate the economy, the thing for you to say tomorrow to your liberal relatives, to your liberal friends, to your idiotic liberal girlfriend who doesn't know who doesn't know very much, is to say to her that Obama last year touted a $500 million grant to a solar company in California, which was a complete Ponzi scheme, and the FBI raided the solar company today because they don't know where the $500 million went. All of it disappeared, and the solar company declared bankruptcy. Can't you understand that the Recovery Act was a Ponzi scheme? Say that to your girlfriend. See what happens. Okay? All right, what else do you want to talk about on the Savage Nation? Let's go to Chicago. William, thanks for listening to me on WIND. Go ahead, please.
Hello, my friend. Real quick, I just want to tell you, I am a Teamster in Chicago, and the majority of the drivers at my terminal are not Democrats. We have voted strongly against them, even though they try to pressure us.
Wow.
To vote their way.
Are you still allowed to vote in private, or have they turned it into North Korea where you have to vote in elections in public, where they get to see who you vote? Well, are you allowed to vote in private? Are they letting you still vote in private? I know you have to vote openly on union elections, right? They don't let you have a private election. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, that's something out of a dictatorship, because they can intimidate people if they force you to vote publicly. But you're still allowed to vote privately when it comes to federal and state officials, correct?
Yes.
Well, the day we see America turning to the point where they permit unions to make members vote in public on federal and state levels, you will know that we're living in an absolute dictatorship. William, thanks. I'm going to send you a free copy of Abuse of Power to show to your Teamster friends. Again, I want to, you know, I got to go back so people don't get the wrong impression of me. I've been a member of two unions. There were some mixed benefits, by the way, some good, some bad. When I was a member of the a broadcasters union at one point, when I worked for a local station, I had to be a member. They did absolutely nothing for me, but the benefits were for the bums on the bottom who had part-time jobs, who got enormously, phenomenally rich pension plans and health plans, courtesy of men like me who were earning good money, big money, and had to pay for their health care and for their pension plans. I got nothing out of it. They got everything out of it. The small-time, small workers who came into the broadcasters union and then did it basically for the health care plan. I was supporting them. So you could say, well, that's a benefit. That was a way of redistributing wealth. You could put it that way, whatever, however you want to put it. And years ago, when I was commuting an awful lot to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, on a consulting job, I used to have a driver of a limo used to pick me up, take me from the airport. And he was a very interesting guy. He was a retired Teamster, black guy. He told me the whole story of what it was like to be a trucker in America before the Teamsters. And he explained to me all of the good that the Teamsters did for men like him. And you know what? I said, I accept what you're saying. He said, before the Teamsters, he said, we had terrible wages, no pension, no health care. I said, well, I can understand why you're a union member and why you support them. That does not say that that gives carte blanche to a union president to go out like Mr. Hoffa did the other day and call for taking out members of the Tea Party, etc. And I don't want to relive that. Just for effect. I'll be right back.
Savage.
An old Pinoke Obama is approaching the podium. Mr. Pinoke Obama will shortly get up and talk about jobs and how he can give money to his cronies under the guise of stimulating jobs. As I told you, the answer to this is to point out that Pinoke Obama last year gave $500 million in Recovery Act money to a solar company that today was raided by the FBI. So as we await through the march of the toy soldiers, they all marched in a few minutes ago, our wonderful esteemed government, we are now waiting for Mr. Pinoke Obama to get up there and tell us how he's going to give away $400 billion of your money and how that's going to give you money in your pocket. And I'm sure that it will be widely and well-received on MSNBC before it's even finished, since they got the talking points from Jeff Immelt this morning. It would be my guess. New York, WOR, Brian, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. What an honor. I'm a union member. I work my butt off to get the union card. And yes. Now I'm disgusted. I go down to Union Call. If I want to read your book, I got to hide it under a newspaper. They assume.
Well, that's right. You're living in the Soviet States of America, the United Soviet States of America, USS of A. It's a very sad state indeed that you have to hide literature. But I'll send you a copy of my novel, Abuse of Power. You can wrap it in a plain brown wrapper and say that you're reading Karl Marx's Manifesto. Would that be something? Maybe I can retitle it The Manifesto of Karl Marx. It might sell widely in the union halls.
I worked so hard to get into the union, and now I'm disgusted by it.
Well, I was told to get my union card when I was a lowly master's degree graduate. Then I got another master's, and the lying Professor Vermin said, you have to get your PhD because that's a union card to get a teaching professorship. So although I had two children, I worked three jobs, went and got my PhD from the University of California at Berkeley in an astonishing 3 years. When I got my PhD, I went for my job, and I said, here's my union card. You know what they said? White males need not apply. And so there I was, stuck without a job. Take a look at what the universities have come today, because what happened to me happened to hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of white males who were driven out of the academy. And take a look at what the universities have become today as a result. Take a look at what they're teaching. Brian, stay on the line. I'm sending you a copy of Abuse of Power in a plain brown wrapper. Pinoke Obama is now warming up. Pinoke Obama is now reviewing his Alabama Joe. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael.
Yes.
I was listening to MSNBC earlier today, and I couldn't believe what I heard, that people were running around in San Francisco naked. I have two questions. If they're doing that, are they bringing their children out naked, and are they getting arrested for pornography? And if
well, so, the people who are doing it don't have children. Let us put it to you that way, in a pleasant way. They're not the type that have children. They're only the type that have sex. So let's start with that. They are sitting on park benches. They're going into restaurants nude. And the vermin who run this city are not cracking down on them. It's a violation of public health. It's a violation of public decency. It's a violation of public morality. But the low-life vermin who run San Francisco are doing nothing because they're part and part of the same degeneracy. There's no other answer. You know, I went into San Francisco the other day. I have studios all over the Bay Area. I had to leave early. I was disgusted by it. Between the bums, the panhandling, the dirt in the streets, the broken streets, and the nudes, I don't even want to go back there anymore.
Well, I can't blame you for that.
It's not that I find the human body repugnant. On the contrary, but there's a place for everything. And when these degenerates think that walking around naked in a city is not an offense to families, and the city fathers and mothers don't have the decency to stand up to these few degenerates who are doing it, what would you say is going on in the city other than the barbarians have broken through the gates and the barbarians are actually in City Hall? Stay on the line. I'll send you a free copy of Abuse of Power. All waiting now because the toy soldiers have lined up. Right now, the toy soldiers are up there on the top, and Pinoke Obama will shortly be up there telling us how he's going to save us. I can't wait to hear the speech myself because I rarely get the opportunity. Usually it occurs when I'm off the air. But tonight is a rare night that the planets lined up for me, and Pinoke Obama will speak while I'm still on the air, and I'll get a chance to do what I once did famously before it was stolen by the man who sounds like Groucho Marx's aunt, getting a hysterectomy without anesthesia on the other stations across America, a man who will soon be off the air. Across America, soon disappear and go back to the courts and the law schools where he belongs. 1-800-449-8255. There are other stories out there, but I know you don't want to hear anything except Pinocchio Obama's speech, and I don't blame you. John in Florida, welcome to the program.
Savage, I really think Barack Obama is in political quicksand, and I think the people are starting to line up against him, and it seems like the more he struggles, the more he sinks, except that this country is in there with him.
The country's in there with who? You mean if Obama doesn't get reelected? You're saying if Obama doesn't get reelected, the country suffers?
No, I'm saying that he's pulled this country into the quicksand, and right now that the liberals are against him, the Republicans are against him, and I think this I Have a Dream speech tonight is some sort of weak attempt to try to just get something together, because he is just falling apart.
Well, he's a politician. Tonight he's going to give an I Have a Scheme speech. Tonight is the I Have a Scheme speech, not I Have a Dream. And in the I Have a Scheme speech will contain more money for more cronies who will rotate the money back into the Democrat coffers, and we're supposed to sit here and make believe we don't know what's going on. Well, I agree that he's painted himself into a corner. He has disappointed the communist left because he's not Marxist enough. He's a moderate Marxist. He's not extremist enough yet because he doesn't yet have absolute power. Of course he's alienated the middle because he's shrunk in the middle class. And needless to say, the right hates him, rightly so, because they see the danger that he has imposed upon this nation on every possible level. Sending you a free copy of Abuse of Power very shortly. We're all waiting for Pinocchio Obama to come out and tell us how he's going to give us the I Have a Scheme speech. And you can listen to it on television, or you can listen to it on the Savage Nation. My recommendation is this. If you're home or you're near a TV, turn the speech on silently to watch Pinocchio Obama perform for us. And while Pinocchio Obama is telling us about his I Have a Scheme speech, you can listen to the speech broadcast on my show, over which I will very, very, in a dignified manner, submit my comments over Pinocchio Obama's.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Of the Savage Nation. We are waiting for President Barack Hussein Obama to give his I Have a Scheme speech. We'll be running the speech in its entirety here on the program with occasional editorializing. He is now walking down the receiving line, getting air kisses, except from members of Congress who reside in San Francisco, who he refuses to accept even an air kiss from, since public nudity is permitted here. We can only imagine what is being said to President Pinocchio Obama as he goes down the aisle receiving accolades from the grifters in Congress who received the largesse of the taxpayer without any oversight whatsoever. No doubt they're cursing the Republicans, cursing the Tea Party, cursing the American people, and of course asking for an increase in stimulus funds. Of course it's come out already that he's going to use this address to lay out a $450 billion jobs plan that would provide tax relief for workers, whatever that means, and small businesses. I'll believe it when I see it. And Obama's tonight going to say that the Congress should pass it right away, saying his $450 billion handout is, quote, nothing controversial. So if we have a live feed, let's go now to the floor of Congress where Pinocchio Obama is getting the air kisses from all members of Congress, except those from San Francisco. Raise it up a little louder. I want to hear the applause. That's all we got is a little applause. Why didn't the Republicans not show up? I know they were forced to be there. There's Pinocchio Obama's up. Here he is. Pinocchio Obama's there now. His I Have a Scheme speech is about to begin. And we're going to carry it in its entirety here, as I say. He will abuse his power, no doubt. with more shenanigans. The applause will not stop from the welfare recipients with the grotesque salaries and grotesque pensions and a pork barrel like they've never seen in their lives. Let's be quiet now and give the president the dignity he doesn't deserve. The hammer has been brought down upon the race, and Pinocchio Obama is about to begin.
I have the high privilege and the distinct honor of presenting to you the President of the United States.
More applause now for Pinocchio Obama. Don't cut off the applause. We want to hear it.
Thank you.
We want to hear them scream out, "You lie."
Thank you.
We'd like to hear the Republicans get up and scream out once en masse, in unison, "You lie."
Thank you so much. Everyone, please have a seat. Thank you. Mr. Speaker, Mr. Vice President.
Burnt my tongue with wasabi
Congress,
just before this hour. I wanted to have a sushi. I'm sorry, what did he say?
Tonight, we meet at an urgent time for our country.
Yeah, look what you did to us. Of course it's urgent.
We face an economic crisis that has left...
Right, your cronies need another handout, that's all.
And a political crisis that's made things worse.
Yeah, a political crisis that made things worse? And you had nothing to do with it, you shyster, you?
What will it mean for Congress? How will it affect their polls and the next election?
Tell us about Michelle's trips last year that cost about $10 million.
Of Americans who are watching right now...
Yeah.
They don't care about politics.
I'm one of them. Yes, we do.
They have real life.
Yes, we do. We care about America, and we don't want a communist in the White House. That's number one.
Others are doing their best just to scrape by, giving up nights out with the family to save on gas or
not you, though. How about your wife? Is she doing as well as she can? Another trip coming up, I think, tomorrow. There's another one coming up just around the corner. Is she going to Ireland next to check out the...
responsibility paid off. They believed in a country where everyone gets a fair shake.
Oh, get to the point and tell us the plan already and stop the horse crap already. I can't take this.
And we're loyal to your company.
We're too far along in the American world to listen to this rubbish. If this keeps up, I'm turning it off. You could turn my show off. I'm not going to listen to him.
If you did the right thing, you could make it. Anybody could make it in America.
Ah, come on, we heard this before. College 101.
Americans have watched.
Pinocchio Obama, stop it already. Oh, what a voice. This guy has the worst speechwriters in history.
And they know that Washington has not always put their interests first. The people of this country work hard to meet their responsibilities.
Okay, I know you love the people.
The question tonight is whether
you
we'll
and Michelle
meet
are proud to be Americans now, I know.
The question is whether, in the face of an ongoing national crisis,
yeah,
we
right.
can stop the political circus and actually do something to help the economy.
The political circus which you created as the ringmeister. Pinocchio Obama in the center ring, and he's saying political crisis, and I'm supposed to buy this. Like he has nothing to do with it. The guy's the president. You hear the shills? The shills, the clapper shills.
The question is whether we can restore some of the fairness and security that has defined this nation since our beginning.
Fairness. Here we go.
Those of us here
to help fairness, he's going to filch you for more money.
Ultimately, our recovery will be driven not by Washington, but by our businesses and our workers.
Oh, well, let's see what you're going to do for our businesses. I'm a business. I'm a self-incorporated business, Michael Savage, okay?
There are steps we can take.
What are you going to do for
right
me?
Now, to improve people's lives.
Well, what are they already?
I am sending this Congress a plan that you should pass right away.
What is it?
It's called the American Jobs Act. There should be nothing controversial about this piece of legislation.
What is it already? Stop
Everything in here is the kind of proposal that's been supported by both
what
Democrats
is the proposal?
And Republicans.
If I were a teacher, I'd get him off the stage
tonight.
And say, you got an F. Get off the stage.
And everything in this bill will be paid for.
You see, only in America can a Pinocchio get away with this. He didn't say what's in the speech, and the morons are clapping already. The schmucks are ready. The shills are clapping.
The purpose of the American Jobs Act is simple.
But,
To put more people back to work.
But
and
what
more
is
money
the plan?
Those who are working.
I'm screaming. I never heard anything like this.
Construction workers, more jobs for teachers, more jobs for veterans.
Ah, construction workers, unions. I get it. I'm sorry. How could I not see this? There's Mr. Union there that just showed on the screen.
Hire new workers.
I see more money for the union workers. I get it.
For every working American and every small business.
I get it. More construction workers, mainly illegal aliens.
It will provide a jolt to an economy that has stalled.
A jolt.
And give companies confidence that if they invest and if they hire,
there
will be
customers for their products and services. What's the big whisper?
You should pass this jobs plan right away.
What is it? This is like a bad magician who's telling you he's about to perform a trick, and they're clapping in advance, and there's no trick. Where's the rabbit?
Are where most new jobs begin.
Again, nothing. No rabbit, no hat, nothing.
Smaller companies have. So for everyone who speaks so passionately about making life easier for job creators,
right.
This plan's for you.
What is it?
Pass this jobs bill.
See, they're clapping again.
Pass this jobs bill and
starting
tomorrow.
This is so Democrat, it's unbelievable.
Get a tax cut if they hire new workers or if they raise workers' wages.
What's the whisper
pass
for?
This jobs
where are
bill
you?
And all
what's the
small
whisper?
Business owners will also see their payroll taxes cut in
how?
Half next year.
How?
If you
give
have
us 50 specifics.
Employees, if you have 50 employees,
have you heard anything yet? I'm asking you. Have you heard a word yet that told you anything?
And all businesses will be able to continue writing off the investments they make in 2012. It's not just Democrats who have supported this kind of proposal. 50 House Republicans have proposed the same payroll tax cut.
Oh, House Republicans. You know, that phrase has very deep meaning. The House Republicans are exactly that to Obama.
Pass this jobs bill and we can put people to work rebuilding America.
What is the bill, Mr. Obama?
Everyone here knows we have badly
what's the whisper for? What are you whispering? It's such a secret? What is it?
Clogged with traffic. Our skies are the most congested in the world.
So?
It's an outrage. Building a world-class transportation system is
here we
part
go.
Of what
again,
made
jobs.
Us an economic superpower.
Okay, it's a now works. I get it. It's going to be construction work. I get it. Okay, I got it. Illegal aliens only need apply.
Construction workers could build them right here in America.
It's all. You know, there was a phrase in old Rome. It said all roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to Rome. Here we go again. All roads lead to Washington. A jobs bill. In other words, it's all for the unions who control the construction workers. Period. End of story.
Private construction companies all across
construction.
America. Just
here we go.
To get to work.
Waiting.
There's a bridge
anxiously.
That needs repair between Ohio and Kentucky.
Yeah,
it's
bridges to nowhere.
Of
in other words,
trucking routes in North America.
Right, a bridge too far.
A public transit project. In Houston, that will help clear up.
All right. I get the picture. Can we move on now?
And there
you already got. You now already see who's getting the money.
That desperately need renovation.
Desperately, the whisper. When he whispers, you know you better reach for the you know what. When you're a whisper, you better reach for the you know what.
This is America. Every child deserves a great school, and we can give
what?
It to them if we act now.
What, by funding unions and construction workers? Oh, I see. More construction in schools with solar panels. I get it. He's going to build solar panels in schools. Solandra will probably get the contract for the solar panels.
Will repair and modernize at least 35,000 schools.
More unions again.
To work right now, fixing
more
roofs,
unions again.
Windows,
not teachers now.
Labs and high-speed internet
oh, yes, science labs. Labs on how to put a condom on a cucumber. More drama schools.
Communities hit hardest by foreclosures. It will jumpstart thousands of transportation projects all across the country.
All right, well, we got the picture.
Sure
it's basically a gigantic pork barrel bill for the unions and illegal aliens who will work for the unions and be made into instant citizens. Can we move on, or let's listen another minute?
We're cutting the red tape that prevents some of these projects from getting started as quickly as possible.
Oh, in other words, just come right up to the White House and we'll give you a check. I get it. Don't even apply for it because somebody may have some oversight. All right.
Two criteria. How badly
a, do you contribute to me?
Is needed, and how much yeah. good it will do for the economy.
Right. And of course, how much comes back to the Democrat National Committee? How much of the construction projects vigorish comes back to the DNC?
By a Texas Republican and a Massachusetts Democrat.
Oh, well, that must be real sound then. Republicans are as clean as a whistle.
America's largest business organization and America's largest labor organization.
Right, and they're all in favor of granting amnesty to illegal aliens.
By Democrats and Republicans
alike.
What's
the whisper?
You should pass it.
Whatever
he
whispers, you better reach for the lubricant. That's all I can tell you. You need to lubricate those gears. When you hear the president whisper, you better reach for the 2040.
Pass this jobs bill.
Let's take a break. I'll be right back. The unsavage nation. We're listening to Pinocchio Obama with his speech. Can you run the speech, please?
Now, I realize there are some in my party who don't think we should make any changes at all to Medicare and Medicaid, and I understand their concerns.
Right.
But here's the truth. Millions of Americans rely on Medicare in their retirement.
Millions
more will do so in the future.
We need more.
They pay for this benefit during their working years. They earn it.
We need more corruption.
But with an aging population and rising health care costs,
we need more benefits.
Too fast to sustain the program.
More benefits for the medical grifters.
The system, while protecting current beneficiaries, it won't be there when future
all
retirees.
All right. Come on. I've heard this before.
We have to reform Medicare to strengthen it. I am also.
All right. So how do you reform it already? What are you cutting? What are you cutting? Are you cutting one specialist a year or what? You're letting those who go from doctor to doctor for nothing pay a dime? They're nothing to do, the old people. They go from one doctor to the other just to have attention paid to them.
Republicans who don't believe we should raise taxes on those who are most fortunate and can best afford it.
Who, like the ones who support you?
You
mean those at Martha's Vineyard? I'm tired of this crap.
Most people in this country struggle to make ends meet. A few of
not
the most
Michelle, though.
Citizens,
she spent $10 million of taxpayer money last year.
Tax breaks and loopholes that nobody else gets.
And what about the loophole of Air Force One and Air Force Two that you two got all of a sudden your hands on? What a loophole that is.
He has asked us to fix.
I'm sorry. I can't take much more of him.
We need a tax code where everyone gets a fair shake.
Start with General Electric paying $1 on their $5 billion in American income. Ask Jeff Immelt of GE how he gets away with paying nothing on $5 billion in General Electric income in the U.S. And then tell us about Warren Buffett, Mr. Shaky from Omaha, about the deal he got with Bank of America after meeting with you. It's better than the solar company, the deal he got.
I'll also offer ideas to reform a corporate tax code that stands as a monument to special interest influence in Washington.
Like GE?
By eliminating pages of loopholes and deductions, we can lower one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world.
How?
Our tax code should not give an advantage to companies that can afford the best-connected lobbyists. It should give an advantage
like General
to
General Electric, Jeff Immelt, sitting in a box right next to Pinocchio Obama. I have never heard anything like this. Someone should scream out, you lie. I'd like one person to scream out, you are lying. Liar, tell us about GE. One person... Let one man scream out, liar, tell us about Jeff Immelt of General Electric,
so
who's clapping right
now. Pay down our debt and pay for this jobs plan in the process.
I can't take it. I'll tell you why. I'm embarrassed to be an American. A, because of the shyster in the White House, the imposter. B, because of the claps every 2 minutes till he finishes a statement. You know, when you even listen to a speech from Portugal, they let the man deliver an intellectually detailed concept before the morons jump up like trained seals every 2 seconds, whether it be R's or D's. I've never seen anything like it. A nation of dummies.
Should we keep tax breaks for millionaires and billionaires?
You mean like the people you just had dinner with on Martha's Vineyard?
Graduate ready for college and good jobs.
Good jobs, yeah. The dummies come out after partying and using drugs for 6 years. They're going to have a job waiting. They can't write their own name.
This isn't
went to college. The dummy went to college on a special grant. The dummy spent 6 years smoking dope, snorting cocaine, and getting sex every 2 minutes. And he comes out, he wants to be the CEO, and if he doesn't get it, he screams racism.
And I'm pretty sure I know what most Americans would choose. It's not even close. And it's time for us to do what's right for our future.
We will come back in a moment, and I'm not going to do much more of this. Pinocchio Obama, I cannot take any more of this. It's more largesse for the unions, period, end of story. and gentlemen, President Obama is speaking.
Identified over 500 reforms, which will save billions of dollars over the next few years. We should have no more regulation than the health, safety, and security of the American people require. Every rule should meet that common sense test.
He's going to cut back on red tape?
But what we can't do...
Here we go.
What I will not do...
Uh-huh.
Is let this economic crisis be used as an excuse to wipe out the basic protections that Americans have counted on for decades.
Nobody's ever asked you to do that, so stop double-talking, everybody, with your sophistry. In other words, to eliminate regulations, we're going to pass new regulations to make certain that the old regulations are not diminished in any way, to make certain that the new regulations can come into place.
Jobs and their safety. I reject the argument that says for the economy to grow... We have to roll back protections that ban hidden fees by credit card companies, or rules that keep our kids from being exposed to mercury, or laws that prevent the health insurance industry from shortchanging
patients. Who in the world wants to give our children mercury? Are you crazy?
We have to strip away collective bargaining rights to compete in a global
economy. A night with Venus and a lifetime with mercury makes sense, not what you just said. There's Biden clapping. Apparently there's a big shipment of water guns go out on the stimulus bill.
We shouldn't be
Hillary's
in a race
being
to the
only
bottom,
shown from the top up.
We try to offer the cheapest labor and the worst pollution standards. America should be in a race
on.
To the top.
Please stop it already. I'm in agony listening to this man. Anybody want anything else from me? Anything about any other topic? Panoc Obama's lying again.
Fact,
someone should just scream out, "You lie!" Once it would make my day.
Dismantle government, refund everybody's money, and
we didn't say dismantle government. Nobody ever said dismantle government. We said cut out the corruption, like the $500 million you gave to a solar company that went bankrupt and no one knows where the money is.
Yes,
like the $5 billion that GE takes in the U.S. and pays no taxes on.
Initiative of our workers and entrepreneurs that has made this economy the engine and the envy of the world.
And then whatever he whispers, reach for the 2040. That's all I can tell you.
Throughout our history.
The whisper. When you hear the whisper, you know you're getting it good.
And that there's some things we can only do together as a nation.
Why don't you cut back on some of Michelle's travel plans for the rest of the year? Why don't you show us in your own family the sacrifice you're going to make?
But in the middle of a civil war, he was also a leader.
Now we're up to Lincoln?
A Republican president who mobilized.
If he brings up H.G. Wells, I'll know that I've lost my mind altogether.
The National Academy of Sciences. Set up the
because H.G. Wells, by the way, saw a future where there'd be a world government to end world wars, right? If he brings up H.G. Wells, I'm leaving radio. I'm putting that on the line right now. If he references H.G. Wells, I'm quitting radio on the spot.
Not to build our highways, not to build our bridges, our dams, our airports. What would this country be like if we had chosen not to spend money on public high schools?
Now look at Geithen there. Can't even pay his own mortgage, the schmuck. Liz Leon Panetta, they move him around from one job to the other. He can't do any of them right, but they move him around. Wow, what a government. My God in heaven, this is frightening. I love government. I absolutely love government. I just want strong, honest men and women to run it. How's that? Does that work for you, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation? I love government. I just want strong, honest men and women, not these grifters and incompetent boobs that you have around you, Mr. Obama.
How many jobs would it have cost us? If past Congress has decided not to support the basic research that led to the internet and the computer chip.
Like your friends at Google, have they ever paid you back for the basic research that they got from the Defense Department for nothing?
Or Medicare, just because it
Do they pay you for the Ames Air Force Base hangar that you let them use? Your friends at Google?
How many Americans would have suffered as a result?
Oh, God.
No single individual built
America. Again, a whisper, get the 2040.
We built it together.
You built it together? What have you ever created for this country? We built it together? What has he ever given this country other than hogwash?
For all, a nation with responsibilities to ourselves and with responsibilities to one another.
I don't think there's enough 2040 in the world for this speech. No, I mean 2040, not WD-40. WD-40 is another thing. No, I mean 2040. It's a lubricant. WD-40 loosens up things that are stuck together. 2040 is an actual lubricant. Nice dress, Michelle. Very nice. Very, very high. Every very high class choice of color. Very dignified. Magenta.
Democrats and Republicans in the past. Every proposal I've laid out tonight will
Let me
be
take
paid.
A caller. William in Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation. William, should I stop this? Or is it disrespectful to the president?
No, please don't stop. You watch his speeches like I do. I love it, doctor. I really do.
But don't you feel the same things going through your soul when you watch these lies?
I'm, as a Tea Party member, I'm absolutely sick.
I'm sick watching this. The Republicans should be screaming out, you lie every minute. They should be screaming out, tell us about the solar company that got $500 million. Nothing. Nothing. Every minute the seals are jumping up. I'm sending you a free copy of Abuse of Power for your Tea Party, okay? Let's go back to Pinocchio Obama.
And the people who sent us here, the people who hired us to work for them.
Who, the Chinese
or
the Arabians?
They don't have the luxury of waiting 14 months.
The Chinese want to, oh, they want, I see. The government of China wants quicker results. I'm sorry. I get it. People who sent them there? Tell us why General Electric, which earned $5 billion in the U.S., paid no income tax, Mr. Obama. You want to be very dignified? Tell us why your wife is able to spend over $10 million a year on personal travel, Mr. Obama.
Even day to day. They need help, and they need it now.
Yeah.
I don't pretend that this plan will solve all our problems. It should not be, nor will it be, the last plan of action we propose.
You know, I've heard of jobs that are shovel ready. And then there's another phrase with a shovel in it that relates to that.
It's been a commitment to stay at it, to be persistent, to keep trying every new idea that works, and listen to
how about cutting back on the government spending? How's that? How's that for a new idea?
Regardless of the arguments we've had in the past, regardless of the arguments we will have in the future. This plan is the right.
I can hear already what's coming later. Oh, the speech was an A+. He hit it out of the ballpark. I can't believe what a brilliant hit. The old Obama is back. What an amazing speech. He saved America single-handedly. He got up there. Oh, my God, we worship him again.
And I ask every American who agrees to lift your voice.
Lift your voice.
Tell the people who are gathered here tonight that you want action now. Tell Washington that doing nothing
is not enough. We'd like to see you impeached. That's the action we'd like.
Remind us that if we act as one nation and one people, we have it within our...
We'd like to see you impeached for about 15 misdemeanors.
President Kennedy once said, our problems are man-made. Therefore, they can be solved by man. And man can be as big as he wants.
Him and Marilyn Monroe got it on pretty good, too. That was a problem that was man-made.
We are tougher
Bill
than the
Clinton had a problem that was man-made in the pantry also.
So let's meet the moment.
The only thing
let's
she got out of it was a handbag line that failed.
Show the world once again why the United States
what did he just say that I missed?
The greatest nation on earth. Thank you very much.
All right, now go for a nice dinner now. They'll tell you how great you were. Now let's break now to the liberals. Oh my God, what a brilliant speech. The man lived up to everything we have ever dreamed of. Can anyone listening to this show tell me anything that this man said, anything this man just said, that makes sense to you? Can anybody tell me you heard anything that will add one dime to the average American? Didn't you see what this was? He's calling for a jobs bill that basically is construction work, and more construction work, which means he's rewarding the unions who are standing behind him 100%. Now, if these construction jobs were going to yield money in the pocket of the average American, I would say then there'd be a justification for it. But how much of that money will actually trickle down to the average American worker? Let's start with the average construction site. How many Americans are working on construction sites, percentage-wise? 20% at most? It's usually 80% illegal aliens. So who do you think is going to wind up with this money? Well, I'll let you figure it out yourself. Let's take, is Bill a new caller because he's on the line? Is that the same one or different? Okay, so they're shovel-ready jobs in order to shovel the you-know-what. He's doing air kisses now on the way out now. Again, except from members of Congress from San Francisco, where public nudity is permitted. He won't even accept an air kiss from them anymore. And that is the wisest thing he's ever done, believe me. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's take a caller out of wherever. Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation from Aberdeen, Washington.
Good evening, Dr. Savage. I hope life is finding you well, even after that pathetic speech.
No, I'm feeling sick, actually. I really feel awful. Awful. I've never heard anything like it in my life.
I know, it's terrible. You know what he's talking about, these shovel-ready jobs? If anybody
yeah.
who understands construction, if you build a bridge over an estuary or a river or anywhere around water, you're down 2 years, 3 years down the road with the EPA, Department of Resources.
Right. You know that the Golden Gate Bridge was built in about 2 to 3 years? Do you know that the entire bridge was built in 2 to 3 years?
Absolutely, because they banged it up.
That was before there was an EEOC, before there was an EPA, before there were every realm of government idiocy imaginable.
SEPA, JARPA, Department of Fisheries, Army Corps of Engineers, you figure
yeah,
it
the
out.
Department of Illegal Alien Workforce.
Exactly. It's disgusting. He didn't see it.
America's crippled. There's no way to end it other than to roll back government. Nobody ever said end government. We said roll back government.
But
there was very little substance here. It was more handouts to the number one supporter of Obama, which is the unions. And the unions, as you well know, put him in power, along with other special interests, as well as... Look, big unions put him in power along with other special interests. Big unions put Governor Jerry Brown in office. He, in fact, rewarded them. And that's it. There's nothing new under the sun. This is pork barrel spending in plain English. I'm going to send you a gift, though, and that's a copy of my new novel, Abuse of Power. For those of you out there, this is the Savage Nation. Mark your calendars. Tuesday is D-Day. I need you to go out to a bookstore and clean off the shelves. I'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the Savage States of America.
All right, thank you very much. Please be seated. Now, it's very easy to sit in the peanut gallery and throw peanuts at a speaker, as I just did. But many of you are asking, well, what would you do if you were president and you really wanted to stimulate the economy and to... stimulate jobs in the country. Okay, you want a real plan now? You want sobriety? You want real, honest-to-goodness methodology? First of all, those of you who bought Trickle-Up Poverty have a plan in your hand, but I'll give it to you if you didn't buy the book. Number one, pass a tariff immediately on all goods made in China. 20% tariff on all goods made in China. Donald Trump copied that from my book, and I understand even Romney came out. Apparently, he read my book and ripped that off, but it's okay. I really don't care. It's a commonsensical. By passing a tariff on goods made in China, you will recreate the industries of America. All of the jobs that have gone to China will start coming back, perhaps not all of them right away, but there'll be new manufacturing demand across America, and the competitiveness of the American-made goods will be seen immediately, because much of the stuff made in China is pure, unadulterated garbage. The tools are garbage. The food coming out of China is garbage. Virtually everything they make is faulty or copied from another country. So you want made in the USA, you want to see factories opening up again, 20% tariff on goods made in China. You want another plan? You want a specific? You think I don't have real plans? I have real plans. Here's number two from Michael Savage. Number two is very basic and very intelligent. Cut every government department in the number of employees by 4% every 3 months for 2 years. 4% of employees across the board have to be fired in every governmental agency. Either do it through buyouts or throwouts, but get rid of them. 4%, that's not a lot. Cut the bloated bureaucracies, that's number two. That will stimulate the economy. Number three, cut the corporate tax rate to a level 50% of what it is today, at the same time making certain that companies like General Electric, who have hired former IRS agents to make sure they pay no taxes on income that they earn in the United States, are paying their fair share of taxes. So at the same time you cut corporate rates, you make certain that the loopholes used by General Electric and other companies are eliminated immediately. That will raise billions of dollars almost immediately. Number three, prevent General Electric from moving the X-ray plant from Michigan, from Wisconsin to China. Tell them you cannot do it. It's illegal. You cannot export a plant from the United States that's been here over 100 years and send it over to our enemies in China. You cannot do it. We're not permitting it, and that's the end of it. We're not letting you send any more factories and technology to China. Those are only three ideas, and those are in 3 minutes or less. Now, what we heard so far from the president was not really very stimulating, frankly. It was more of the same. It's a payback to those who put him in power. Whether people will actually get jobs from it, sure, some will, but not very many. And again, I want to go back to the big story of the day. The feds today raided a solar panel company that Obama touted last year. The firm lobbied Obama directly, visited the White House 40 times, got $500 million in stimulus funds, and declared bankruptcy today. They got $500 million from Obama's administration in 2009 to make solar panels. They went bankrupt. No one knows where the money is. The FBI raided their offices today. Here's some breaking news on the Savage Nation. Huge power outage has hit Orange County and San Diego. Some people are trapped in elevators. And, of course, nobody knows why it happened. There's no point in joking about it. Nobody knows the cause of the outage. As you well understand, nobody knows anything in the United States of America. But soon they will have a news conference, and they will tell us how wonderful each department is. One will introduce the other dummy, and the other dummy will congratulate the other dummy. They'll all say, we understand the power is out, but I want to introduce you to Charles Williams, who's in charge of the power department in Orange County. We don't understand why, but Charles, tell him a little bit about what you don't know, please. Bill in Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation. Bill,
Dr.
go ahead. You're
Savage.
On the set. Yes.
You have accomplished something that no one has been able to do. For the first time, I've listened to the president read one of his speeches from his speech writers. This is the only way to listen to the president is through you so we can get the truth. I am sick and sick.
Well, it's one man's emotional gut reactions to one lie and one sophistry after another. I can't take it. It eats my guts out. I can't listen to it. To listen to this man build up to nothing when he could have given the essence of his speech in 5 minutes and said thank you without all of the hoopla would have been a little better, and then we can talk about it. But there was nothing there that I saw that was unique. Did you?
I didn't hear anything that was new. I didn't hear anything of substance.
Well, I'm a small business owner. I didn't hear anything that will affect me. I don't know what you do for a living, but I don't know what he did for me. Did he do anything for your business?
Absolutely not. In fact, I am a small business person, and I drive boats for a living, but it's cheaper for me to fly to Florida instead of going to California and work.
I'm sending you a gift, though, a copy of Abuse of Power. Stay on the line. We have time for one last call in this hour. Again, there's a massive power outage in San Diego. They don't know why, what, how it happened, why it happened, but I'm sure they'll give speeches in a moment telling us what they don't know. Tucson, Arizona, Howard, you're on the Savage Nation. Fire away. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, you know, I'm really sick of Obama. Every time he opens his mouth, the stock market takes a 200-point drop. The last payroll tax he gave us, I got a whole $11 back in my paycheck. I had to have $30 taken out just
for. Well, there you go. Think of how many ribs you could buy at IHOP with that. I mean, and you could copy the First Lady's diet that way, at least on a mini scale. You could take that $11, for example, and go out and buy a plate of ribs or ice cream or something, and you could say that you're living the way the Obamas live. At least you could do it once on that rebate. But you just won yourself a free copy, a wonderful value. It's a hardcover book that costs you absolutely nothing, zero, zip. Abuse of Power by Michael Savage, my new novel, which many of you have flooded Amazon with to buy. And again, Tuesday is D-Day. I'll be back shortly here on the Savage Nation. I really didn't hear anything in this speech that was new. It's kind of depressing to listen to the same stuff over and over again. And stay here on the Savage Nation because there's nowhere else to go.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Thank you. right, and here's what's on MichaelSavage.com. Have we found the White House gun runner, the ATF guy who actually sent the guns to Mexico that resulted in deaths? Take a look at his picture. You know nothing will happen. Also, the FBI has raided a solar panel company that was hailed by Obama after he gave them $500 million in stimulus funds. That's right, you heard me. Come on, that's ridiculous, but identity theft is something you have to take seriously. What if someone stole your credit cards and tried to destroy your life? Don't be a victim. Call my advertiser, LifeLock, today. Call LifeLock now at 1-800-LOCK-485 and get 60 risk-free days just for Savage listeners. 1-800-LOCK-485. Call them now. FBI agents today executed search warrants at the headquarters of Solyndra, which was awarded more than $500 million, that's a half a billion dollars, in your man Obama's federal stimulus loans in 2009 to make solar panels in what the Obama administration then called part of an aggressive effort to put more Americans to work and end U.S. dependence on foreign oil. Okay? They're gone. They declared bankruptcy. Where's the $500 million? How many of them connected to Democrats? Huh? There are no answers from you libs? What else is on MichaelSavage.com? Well, if you're interested in me, and you wouldn't be listening to the show if you weren't, you have a rare treat, because on the top right, you can see a video from YouTube of me reading from Abuse of Power at a restaurant in San Francisco, conducted a few weeks ago in front of a small group of supporters. Also, Abuse of Power has been driven way up on the Amazon list. Thank you very much for supporting it. Tuesday is D-Day for you to go into the stores. Eric Holder denies prior knowledge of Fast and Furious.
I will continue to point out one indisputable fact, which has been proven repeatedly during this administration and the previous one. In disrupting potential attacks, there is quite simply no more powerful tool than our civilian court system.
A red lawyer in Massachusetts wants the Pledge of Allegiance banned. Did you hear this? He says it's reminiscent of McCarthyism or totalitarianism to force people to say the Pledge of Allegiance. He's very lucky I'm not the president, this red lawyer piece of garbage. Democrats tired of Obama blaming Congress. Union goons attacked cops and damaged the grain train in Washington State. They dumped grain after cutting the brake lines on a railroad train and attacked cops and pushed them into a pen. There's your unions for you. Muslims who shut down Israeli ambassador are on trial. Good luck. Black women say rebels raped them in Libyan camp. That can't be so, because the rebels are good. CNN likes the rebels. Obama loves the rebels. Any rebel is good, all the rebels with a cause. It's now Romney versus Perry. No kidding. Bye-bye, Bachman. Pew study says many in the U.S. are slipping out of the middle class. I guess they didn't read trickle-up poverty when it was written. U.S. falls to number fifth in global competitiveness. Obama's recovery, a flop of historical proportions. The Muslim overtaking of France. Aggressive San Francisco bums and tourist complaints are up in San Francisco. Planned Parenthood, the abortion folks, loses $500,000 in taxpayer funds. A Florida county voted to revoke the grants. Good for them. Parents sue over wrongful life of disabled son. They seek millions after the child was born without limbs. I guess they want to sue God. Instead, they're following the lawyer's advice and suing the hospital. Models take to the catwalk in Spain. If you want something beautiful to look at, you can look at the behinds of the girls in Spain, because in Spain, the manes fall mainly down the drain. Abuse of Power review. It held me spellbound. That's a good review if you want to read it. All of this is on MichaelSavage.com, and all of the latest headlines are going to be discussed today on the program in this hour, continuing in a moment here on this local affiliate. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
I realize that taxes are boring, but so is death, and yet we're all facing taxes and death, aren't we? So let me begin with a story. Here I am sitting in San Francisco on a cloudy, drizzly, beautiful day. I had a movable feast up in North Beach. That's the Italian district of San Francisco. The reason I'm going to tell you the story is because it leads back to taxes and death, as does everything in my mind. At this stage of my life, every topic, no matter what it is, leads back to taxes and death. No matter how I try to get away from it, you'll see how it all leads back to taxes and death. And because I bash San Francisco because there's so much ugliness here from the bums and the foolish children who think that they're liberals, but they're nothing but losers, that I may as well tell you about the beauty that I see here. Because I've been here for so long, there must be something I like, right? So let's start in San Francisco, because North Beach is to San Francisco as Paris is to France. North Beach is to San Francisco as New York City, or shall I say Manhattan, is to New York State. It's a different world. It's the old Italian district, some of the most charming architecture in the city. Particularly when the light is right, it blesses your eyes, the way light hits at a certain time. And it abuts Chinatown, which is also fascinating unto itself. I was very tired. I was drained. I was exhausted. I was dead, as I told you during the show. I didn't want to drink. So I thought. So I go up to the bar at the North Beach restaurant, and my friend Lorenzo is there. He comes over. He's the owner. And he says, well, what can I get you? I said, just get me a water. Get me the Hetch Hetchy, 2010. It's fine. So I'm drinking ice water, and we're chatting and this and that. The next thing I know, I said, the hell with it. Just get me a vodka. That was the first one. Well, after a couple of them, I felt better. I got to tell you the truth. It unwound a lot of the problems that I had. So I said, all right, let me eat now. Now I got hungry. I wasn't even hungry. So I sit down, and he's not eating. It's his restaurant, I want to remind you. So I said, look, I'm on a low-fat diet. You know me for 30 years. I don't want to eat any. No cheese. He knows me. So they start me off with the eggplant, no cheese. It's become a famous dish in there now. People come from all over the country, ask for the savage eggplant. I said, why don't you put my picture on the wall? And I laugh, blah, blah, blah. So now he says, you want some prosciutto? I said, I don't eat ham. I don't eat fat. I said, let me try it. It's typically me. It was the most delicious piece of ham I ever had in my life. And I'm dipping the bread in olive oil. Now, here's the story. Listen carefully. And I say to him, boy, your oil is good. He grows it up in Sonoma. I remember when he cut the land up there to plant the vineyards, the grapes, and when he planted the olive trees. It's 20 years ago. I was with him in Sonoma when he did it. He's a man of the earth. So he said, well, let me tell you something. We got half the production of olives this year that we did last year. I said, why? He said, the bees are dying. I said, what? He says, well, the bees are dying. I said, what's your theory? He says, well, my theory, as I heard, is that the signals from cell phones and cell phone towers are confusing the bees and they're dying. I had never heard that one. So when he told me that the olive orchard only produced half of the amount of olives from the year before and that olives are in short supply, I was stunned. And I thought, I would share it with you. Did you hear anything about cell phones and bees? Let's face it, we know that pesticides are overused in America, not only in our foods, but in our agricultural products. We understand that. That's why many of us choose organic products. But I didn't know that the bees were dying from cell phones and cell phone signals. It's really a disturbing fact of reality here. So now today, I stay over in the city, and I decide to take one of these two-hour walks in the San Francisco that I love. And I go down Market Street, if you know Market Street. It's older, kind of a lot of bums. But I love the hustle and bustle, people come in and out of the tube and blah, blah, blah. Then I cross back up street, and I wind up back in North Beach anyway because all roads for me have to lead me back there. Now listen to this. So I go all the way up to the top of a place I used to go, the top of Grant Avenue. I haven't been there in 10 years. There used to be a communist bookstore up there that I hated, and I even have a painting of the communist bookstore before it was a communist bookstore that I bought from an artist in the street 20 years ago. And I stumble upon an Oriental antique store going out of business, and it's just full. It's a little tiny store. A white guy owns it. His wife is a beautiful Japanese actress, and they're just people are, browsing and buying and this and that. So I said, how much are the cloisonné vases that you have in the window? So he says to me a certain price. I think it was $200. I said, all right, I'll take them, $100 a piece. They're Japanese circa 1920. They're just really beautiful cloisonné. So I said, do you have any other cloisonné? So I trip over things. I go to the back of the store, and he pulls out two Chinese vases. And he said, these are older, and they're $200 a piece. I said, I'll take them. Reminded me of my, the years when I was a kid in an antique store. And he kept asking me, he said, we're moving our warehouse back to the East Coast. I'm leaving to Sunday in a truck, whatever I don't sell. I'm going to drive in the snow. I'm going back to New York, blah, blah, blah. And he asked me if I go to Osaka, his favorite city, because he has a warehouse there. I said, no, I don't go to Osaka. He said, it's the most beautiful city in the world. He loves it. His wife's from there. I said, no, I was in Japan 20 years ago, and I never went back. I said, this city, North Beach in San Francisco, this part of the city, is my personal Paris, my personal Jerusalem. And I walked down the street with two shopping bags, with the four vases, one in each hand, with a smile on my face. And that was my 24-hour movable feast in San Francisco, the beauty that I never talk about. But there are other topics out there, 1-800-449-8255. I've decided to spend a good portion of the rest of my time on Earth defending ending lab testing on chimpanzees. Let me be very blunt with you. I want to end all lab testing on chimpanzees, and I'm going to explain why. Let me take us back to where we are. The Islamofascists are dehumanizing the world by killing even their own co-religionists with such brutality and a lack of humanity. Many of us are starting to become less and less human on this planet. And in the midst of fighting an Islamofascist enemy that treats its victims less than human, we must remember and reaffirm our own humanity. We must remember that we have a responsibility to the innocent animals that God has placed on this earth. And because of that, and because of the fact that technology has eliminated the need for lab testing on chimpanzees, I am going to work to end such cruel and inhumane testing immediately. Now, I know there are others who have been working on this for ages, but I'm going to join them. You see, chimpanzees have a similar range of emotions to humans. Chimps feel themselves being strapped to a gurney. They feel when they're being tortured in a lab. They feel when they're being given diseases. They can also see their mates and friends being tortured in front of their eyes in laboratories, because all you got to do is go into a lab and hear them screaming out as their mate or their family or their friends are strapped to a gurney and tortured by these sick doctors. I say end all animal experiments on chimpanzees now. Now you say, Savage, where is this coming from all of a sudden? Is this something new? How come you're all of a sudden concerned about chimpanzees? In a way it's new and in a way it's old. I began as a graduate student a long time ago. In fact, I don't know if I told you the story, but I lost a fellowship in 1968 in a laboratory because I wouldn't kill lab animals. Let me take you back there for a minute in case you have the wrong impression of me. You may as well get the right impression of me. I think it was 1968, and I went back to graduate school as somewhat of an adult at the time, and I was working in a pharmacology laboratory. I won't say which university, which I really detested doing, because I heard my ancestors speaking to me and saying, you've come this far in life to clean rat feces. But what I couldn't do was, I didn't want to kill even the rats. I wouldn't kill them. So here was what happened. I had no money. I was a young graduate student, and I had a $300 a month stipend. $300 a month was enough to live on in those days. I had nothing else. I just arrived in this faraway place with my then girlfriend, and the lab guy who brought me out there said, "Here's the ultimatum that you have. You either kill the animals like you're supposed to, or I'm pulling your fellowship." I said, "Well, go ahead and pull my fellowship because I'm not killing animals." And I left the lab. And I had to wander around, and I wound up in a botany laboratory, and that's when I moved into botany because I didn't think I'd have to kill animals. But the point I'm making is we have an obligation to be good shepherds to our animal friends. And chimpanzees, of all the animals, of all of them, they are so close to us genetically. There's only a few enzymatic differences between us and chimps. I know many of you find it offensive because you don't even understand what I'm saying to you, but the truth is they're very closely related to us. The important thing to know is that they have a full range of emotions. Their bad luck, here's their bad luck. The bad luck for chimps is that they get the same disease as we do. And because they get the same disease as we do, the chimps are often substituted for humans in laboratories. So they're tortured by these sadistic so-called scientists for medical research. Now, I'm not against medical research, but I understand that with the advent of the computer and computer modeling, there's no need to do this to chimpanzees at all. And if you go into a laboratory, as I say, and you see what they do to chimpanzees, I think most of you would agree with me, your stomach would turn. When they take out one of the family members or friends of a chimpanzee, you say they don't know what's going on, listen to them scream in pain and go crazy as they watch their brother, their uncle, their cousin, or their girlfriend being strapped to a gurney by a sadist in a white coat. And as you hear their friend struggling to free themselves from the drugs and the chains to the gurney, believe me, they have the same range of emotions. It'll be like experimenting on a human being by Dr. Mengele, as far as I'm concerned. Now, I wouldn't apply the same to a rat. I wouldn't apply the same to a rabbit. I would apply this concept to a chimpanzee owing to the close similarity between the chimpanzee and the human being. So that's one of the topics I really do want to talk about, which is ending animal testing on chimpanzees. And if you think this is an odd thing for a conservative talk show host to be talking about, you're right, because I'm not a conservative talk show host. I'm an independent. That is correct. I actually walk the walk and I talk the talk.
Savage.
The president just gave his crazy plan on what he expects to do to create more jobs in this economy. But he's brought it upon us. Joining us now to talk about job plans is Kevin Hassett, the Director of Economic Policy Studies with the American Enterprise Institute. Kevin, welcome to the Savage Nation.
It's great to talk to you, Michael.
With the corruption and the failure of the last stimulus, you think another one will work?
Well, it's obvious that the stimulus failed. And then the question is, you know, can't these people learn? Are they so stupid that they're just going to keep doing the wrong thing over and over again and hoping for a different outcome? But they do have at least one tiny little sliver of logic to hold on to, which is that their belief is that the world was so terrible and that even though they had this glorious and successful stimulus, you know, it was hard to see, but that if they didn't pass the stimulus, then the world would have been far, far worse. And so that's clearly their belief, that the stimulus kept us from going off the edge of the abyss. And if that's your view, if you really believe that, then at least trying a bigger one or another one has some intellectual defense. So I don't think that it's completely and utterly stupid, that it's totally logically indefensible. But I still am sure that they're wrong.
Which one of the Republican job proposals do you think will do the most to create jobs?
Well, there have been a lot of Republican proposals out there. Paul Ryan has a really big plan. Governor Romney came out with a plan that had something like 58 different steps to it. Governor Huntsman has made a really radical tax proposal. And so, you know, Republicans are out there. The liberal meme that Republicans are the party of no and that they're just going to, you know, defeat Obama even at the cost of destroying the country because all they do is say no and they don't have their own ideas, it's just clearly wrong. And I think that what you have to do, if you look at all the different Republican proposals, and we can talk about the differences between them in a minute, but if you look at them all, then they're all a step in the right direction. Because what Obama's basic philosophy has been, it's a really horrifying philosophy, really. What it's been is that we can have our economic policies as terrible as we want. We can be the highest corporate tax country on earth, but if we then subsidize green jobs and have cash for clunkers and do all these little things on the side, that it will overcome the negative of being the worst tax climate on earth. We can ignore our big problems, Obama seems to be saying, and then subsidize these little candy projects and we'll be okay. And what we've learned, which we knew from the beginning really, but what we've seen in the data is that that just doesn't work. That if you want to be a country that attracts business, then you need to have a tax climate that's friendly to business. Hello. If you've got big problems, then ignoring them and giving yourself a shot of adrenaline isn't the way to get better. The way to get better is to fix the big problem. And on that, the Republican proposals are all pretty good, that everybody wants to cut the corporate tax rate and cut it a lot. Right now, the average for OECD nations is about 25%. After you account for state and local taxes in the U.S., that's really about 14% below what the typical U.S. corporation pays if they locate activity here in the U.S. And so all the Republicans, I think, are addressing the biggest problem, which is that anybody who wants to build a new plant will look at the U.S. tax climate and say, geez, why should I build it there? And after the Republican proposals became law, then every single one of them would lower the rate enough to get us to a place where we need to be.
What are the differences between the GOP job plans?
Okay, so there are two GOP candidates who have put out significant plans at this point, Mitt Romney and John Huntsman. In John Huntsman's plan, which is a good deal more ambitious, that he reduces the tax rates really across the board on the income tax, gets them down to 8%, 14%, and 23%. If we were to do that, then it would really be just a radical and positive change in the U.S. because people, if they can keep more of their hard-earned money, will work harder and will get more economic growth. Huntsman also cuts the corporate rate in the U.S. from 35% to 25%. That's about the average of our trading partners. I'd actually wish that he was more ambitious than that. But again, that's a very, very sound move. If we have a lower corporate rate, then people will locate their activity here. He's proposed a litany of regulatory reform and measures to produce energy independence, and has, you know, basically said the right things about free trade if you're a person who believes in free markets. Mitt Romney has a less aggressive plan, a more moderate plan. I think it looks to me like Romney's trying to stake out the moderate terrain in the Republican primary. His corporate tax plan is very similar to Huntsman, goes to about the same place on the rate. But on the income tax side, it's more left as a kind of future thing to do. It's not really sketched out in the detail that Huntsman has. You know, I think everybody will talk about the same game on regulatory reform. But Romney also says that we need to get really tough on China, which suggests that maybe he's going to be, you know, less of a free trade guy and more of a sort of combative mercantilist to me. And as a free market person, that gives me a little bit of pause. And so I would say that from the two guys who have really sketched out a plan right now, the Huntsman plan is the one that's more of a traditional kind of free market plan. But they're both solid. Obviously it's way better. Both of them are way better than anything any Democrat would ever propose.
Well, what is missing from these proposals?
Yeah, I think that what's missing from Romney's plan is a detailed income tax reform. I think that, you know, you go back and think about Steve Forbes and the flat tax. There have been a lot of candidates over time that have been really ambitious about fixing the tax code in the U.S. And I don't think that given how weak the economy is, given how high the unemployment rate is right now, that we can afford to be timid. This is not the time for timidity on fiscal policy, and I think that the Romney plan is a little bit timid. The Huntsman one, on the other hand, is not. I don't know if we think that he's going to be a strong candidate. I'm certainly not a political prognosticator, but based on the economics, I think people should have a look.
Well, what do you think needs to be done?
I think that for me, what I would do to get jobs going here in the U.S. is I would do two things. It's really simple. The first thing I would do is cut the corporate rate, you know, as far as I could. I would, you know, get them, drag everybody kicking and screaming to the floor of the House and the Senate to get them to vote for a corporate rate, maybe 10%, 15%. I don't want to be the average of our trading partners. I want to be the most attractive place. I want businesses lining up at our borders trying to start new plants, build new plants, build new factories here in the U.S. because we're the most attractive place. If you look at the typical American worker, if you look at how the work ethic here in America, there's a lot that makes us attractive. And the reason why that all the new plants aren't happening here is not because our workers are terrible or that we don't have the right work ethic or our kids aren't smart enough. It's because the tax penalty for operating here in the U.S. is so high. I don't want to neutralize that. I want to more than offset it. So I'd like the corporate tax rate to be, you know, as low as I could possibly get it. And I would give up everything else on the tax side and only focus on that because I think that that's our raging problem. The second thing that I would do is I would give us an entitlement reform that puts us on a sustainable path. And so what I would do is I would do something very simple to Social Security. If you change the indexing formula for future benefits from wages to prices, then you more or less restore balance in Social Security. And you cut people's benefits a lot 20, 30 years from now, but not for current retirees. I would do that. And on Medicare, what I would do is I would just start having a deductible. You know, basically the first couple thousand bucks are out of pocket. For people on Medicare, just like most people have insurance, got to pay some money out of pocket to start with. And if healthcare costs rise down the road, then the deductible would have to go up to restore balance. But if we could take these simple steps, then entitlements would be in balance, and we wouldn't be looking at massive deficits, and then things like the low corporate rate would have some credibility. But when you duck the big problem and ignore the entitlements, then even if we were to cut the rate right now, then you wouldn't necessarily get a massive inflow of investment because everybody's going to think, oh, geez, well, as soon as I build my factory there, you're going to jack up my taxes to pay for those entitlements you're afraid to cut. And so I think that you have to do both. But if you do both, then I think you're going to put America back to where it really was in the middle of the last century. We'll be the world leader, the world capitalist leader, the strongest economy in the world. We'll have the highest job growth, the lowest unemployment, little inflation because it's all coming from the supply side. I mean, there's a lot of hope right now. It's just that we have to act.
Kevin Hassett, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's been great talking to you.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
You would talk to that is worth their salt acknowledges that without the Recovery Act, we would not be continuing on the upswing. We would still be it's either stuck or spiraling downward. The Republicans can't make up their own facts. The bottom line is the Recovery Act had an impact. We need additional impact like an infusion, I think, of infrastructure.
Did you hear that? And it's organizations like the AARP who control these leftist politicians. AMAC is fighting back. The Association of Mature American Citizens. Your membership can help stop the left wing. Call 800-255-4199, 800-255-4199, or go to americaisrising.com, 800-255-4199, americaisrising.com. You know, California's interesting. Northern California has its own little weather system, much different than the East Coast. Being an East Coaster, it's kind of unusual to me to have the second summer. This is our real summer. September, October is our real summer, the Indian summer. You know, it's so out here we get the real summer now. You know, it's not cold, not windy. And then we have our own, like, set of holidays, like the Blue Angels Navy weekend, you know. The city goes wild for it, except for the old commie scum who complain, why do they fly over our city, disturbing my reading of Leaves of Grass? I was laying in bed reading the beatnik literature of my youth, and I heard the roar of airplanes. It disturbed me as it shook my window panes and pained my lungs. But everyone likes it, except the newspapers. You know, they put it down. But people love it. So hundreds of thousands of people, you go into the city to watch the Blue Angels, and everyone who has a boat is out on the bay. They're watching the air show Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday, Sunday. I went out alone to watch the parade of ships on my boat. 40 tons, you know. I would fill 40 tons of yacht on my own, took it out. Nobody, zero. Nobody, not even the dog. I was in one of those moods. After last week, which I called Hell Week, I wanted to be alone. I didn't even want to hear a dog bark. I didn't even want the distraction of a dog barking. So I took the boat out alone. And it's not so heroic. It's only on the bay. And it's got a bow and stern thruster. So I go out, watch the parade of ships. It was kind of boring, to be frank. The big warships weren't there. There's one, like, you know, 800-foot, like a marine amphibious land. Not that interesting. It's not like watching the Big Mo. I mean, I've seen the Big Mo at dock when it was out here, the Missouri. It's unbelievable. Or a real modern aircraft carrier, the Nimitz I was on. You say, holy God. I mean, I was honored to be aboard the Nimitz a few years ago. I don't think they'd ever have me again. The word is probably out on banned on aircraft carriers as well as banned in Britain. But when I watch those young men in their flying machines taking off on night missions, training missions, it's like watching a rocket take off the deck. It was 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, black ocean, black sky, and all of a sudden, all you see is the afterburners on the FA-18 Hornets, and you see rockets taking off on a deck, and you just sit there shaking and shuddering with the genius of man. The only thing you pray is that we had something other than panty waist running the military, and they could just end the war already by killing the enemy in his stronghold. Wipe him off the planet already. Use some of the weapons that we paid for instead of milking us dry for more weapons that you're not going to use is all you pray when you watch the jets take off, which is why I wasn't invited back. So to make a long story short, so it's that weekend. So I go out alone. I watch the parade of ships. The first couple of ships, there were more Coast Guard ships and Navy patrol vessels and police boats and old menopausal men whose boats were converted into, like, patrol boats than there were observers because they were afraid of being boarded by these schmucks with 40-caliber Glocks. Everyone was on patrol. I was afraid to even get near the ships. I never saw such a cordon like this. I didn't even dare get near. I mean, I didn't want them to come aboard. They usually, they're a pain in the neck. They once boarded my ship. I'm not very impressed with the Coast Guard, to be honest with you. I know you're supposed to glorify everyone in the uniform, but at the end of the day, you know, not everyone in the uniform is special. Some people are just idiots in uniforms with guns and clubs, and some are wonderful. I get the idiots. Not this weekend. Anyway, I go back. So, anyway, the dog isn't even here. I don't want to be with him because of this morning with the rug with the foot. I had to give him to the cleaner, and that's it. I'd like to have sent my foot out to a Martin, you know, Martinizing. I wanted to have my foot Martinized after this morning. Whoa, that's a bad experience. I mean, I raise children, but that happens like once in a child rearing. That middle of the night, early morning squish, great for the sex life between husband and wife. I got to tell you, young children are the greatest thing to keep a sex life alive. Between the plastic rattles, the regurgitation, and the doo-doo, and eating in restaurants with the wonderful thing for romance. I think that's how God sets it up that way. I don't know how. I don't understand. It's like hair on a man as he gets older. It grows in the wrong places. There's something to do with that. Sometimes I think God is a comedian, and he gets bored, and he needs a little fun, so he does these things to us. So it was a long Saturday. I didn't want to go out again when the real flying was boring as heck, and the heat wave hit us now. We get these this kind of week. Horrible. Horrible, like a Florida without humidity. I don't like it. I can't wait for the cold. Would you come back this weekend? I may go up to Tahoe. It's like 30 degrees up there already. I used to love autumn in Tahoe. I don't go anymore. I think I'm going to go this weekend. I'm just thinking out loud. I'm letting go of tension. It's after Hell Week. Forgive me for being, you know what I'm saying? I'm letting go. I'm going to get back to trickle-up poverty. I'll talk. But I'm letting go. I'm letting it out. I'm feeling relieved. All right, so it's a long, horrible day. It's worse than watching paint dry. It's like studying nuclear physics when you're a child and you don't really understand it. It's like memorizing a new language. The day went on from 6 in the morning. It was like forever. So to make a long story short, there's a guy that we know through family, younger guy, who has a large yacht, and he's a party animal, maybe a 70-foot boat. So he emails us. He likes me. You know, why don't you come on the boat? We're going to have drinks after the end of the day, blah, blah, blah. All right, whatever. Figure the end of the day is like an eternity away anyway. And he's got, like, beautiful. I mean, he said, well, we're dressing up in the Navy, and the girls are wearing Navy little sailorette outfits just for me. I needed to go see that. I needed more torture. You come aboard. The girls are wearing sailorette outfits. Just what I wanted. More torment. So I wasn't sure I was going to go. All right, so the day is ending now. It's like long day's journey in tonight. I mean, where was Eugene O'Neill now that I needed him? It was like long day's journey in tonight. Finally, man. I said, how did you get through life without being a junkie? How did you avoid that pitfall with your nature? You're made of iron, man. I had to congratulate myself. I didn't even have a drink. Nothing. If I was another person, it would have been like mainline city if I was a weak person. Those are the kind of days, I mean, you say, holy God, how many hours are there in a day? You know, thanks for blessing me with so much freedom and so much health. Now what? I don't know what to do with myself. So the night falls, and I start emailing and getting emails. Well, we're lost. We can't get back in the harbor because it's an unmarked channel. I live near an unmarked channel. And the guy had a new captain. So a guy on the boat I know says, well, can you signal us from land with your lantern? I'm not kidding you. I have a very powerful. So I'll tell you what. I'll go out on the a certain area, and I'll start signaling you when you're near the entrance to the harbor. This is like a few hundred yards to the right of it. So he says, all right, signals me back by email. He says, see your signal. Fine. About 20 minutes later, I get a thing. We've gone aground. The captain didn't see the entrance. We're trapped here for 6 hours. So I said, oh, God, I like this guy. So I said, look, I'll tell you what, give me a half an hour, I'll jump in my car, I'll go down to the dock, I'll get my little boat. I have 3 boats in my little Savage Navy. I have a little 22-foot Ranger tug, which I absolutely adore. A 3-cylinder, 29-horsepower Yanmar diesel, great little engine. And I said, I'll tug over and I'll get you with the searchlight. Well, it was like Cape Fear, to be honest with you. I forgot to bring my night vision goggles, legal, of course. They're just the previous generation night vision. If I had gotten my night vision goggles, it would have been a whole different story. I would have been able to see. And with a searchlight, it's still very difficult to see on a dark bay at night. I don't care where you are, storm or no storm, a searchlight only lights up a certain area. It's not diffuse enough to light up like in a wide arc unless you're like a Mexican patrol boat. You know what I mean? This is a mere standard searchlight. So my fear was I was going to run aground myself or I was going to smash into a piling. And my poor dog, I had to wake him up. Oh, now I understand. It was two nights later. He had a fear reaction.
Savage.